Good morning. Am I on? Okay, good. Pastor Abe, remind me when I come up here, I have to bring things. One here is the remote control. The other one is the Bible. And what the Bible uses so that I can put my binder higher up when I read it. So when Pastor Abe asked me to preach on Sunday, and I said to myself, well, I'm not a preacher. I'm actually a Sunday school teacher. I teach grade 9 and grade 10 for a number of years. And actually, there's a big difference between preaching and teaching. Teaching is you trying to affect a person's heart by appealing to his thinking. But yet, in preaching, you're trying to appeal a person's thinking. While you're trying to affect a person's thinking by appealing to a person's heart. So anyway, this morning I'm going to treat you as my Sunday school student, as a Sunday school class. The only difference is I would not give you any assignments, and I would not give you any memory verses. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, I hand this time to you. Father, may your spirit guide us through the next half hour or so. Father, it's not a matter of preaching or teaching, but rather in the delivery of your message. Father, may your message be delivered this morning with power and with the Spirit, so that it will help us to change, help us to ponder the message of Christmas, so that our lives will be changed, our lives will be different after hearing your word. And I pray this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So today we are talking about the joy of Christmas. It's part of the Advent. We have read the passage just now and had the candle lighted. And the passage we read is Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 20. I'm not going to read that passage again, but I will make a reference to that from time to time in my message. So many people use the word joy to describe Christmas, and we actually sang a few songs that talks about the joy of Christmas. This morning we sang, O Come All Ye Faithful, Joyful and Triumphant. The other song we sang is Angels We Have Heard on High, Sweetly Singing Over the Plains, and then going on. And then he said, and the mountains in reply echo back their joyous strain. So, we sing songs and we rejoice, supposed to rejoice during this Christmas season. But do we always experience joy? Do we always experience joy during this time of the year? I would say not so. You know, somebody will try to find joy from running from one party to the other. Some of you may want to find joy going to going to some shopping. But I must say that going to the mall during this time of the year is probably the easiest way for you to lose your joy. I think part of the problem is because we got the wrong reason about joy. You know, we tend to connect joy with happiness and think that joy and happiness are the same. Now, depending on which version of the Bible you read, the Bible actually talks about joy and happiness. But the Bible only talks about happiness about 30 times. And yet when the Bible talks about joy, it's over 300 times. So I'm going to show you what the difference is between happiness and joy. And I will submit to you the three things. Happiness is external. Happiness is circumstantial. And happiness is temporal. Now, while happiness comes from the outside, I think the joy is something coming from your inside. Joy is an outward expression of your elation, but joy is an inward peace and also contentment that you have. You know, happiness is momentary and it will not last for a very long time, but joy will last for a longer time because it is coming from something inside you. You know, it's not possible to get happy and stay happy all the time. I'm sure you experience that day after day. And I'm going to give you a couple of examples to illustrate what joy is and how does, you know, what happiness is how temporal they are. For example, a person, he won the lottery of $100,000. So he will be happy. But think of that $100,000. Instead of winning it through the lottery, that person actually started a business. He works hard at it. He developed a business plan, went through a lot of difficulties, going to the bank, borrow money, and then make the business work. And at the end, he earned his $100,000. To him, I think that is joy. Another example I would try to relate to is like a ball game or a hockey game. You know, when your team is winning, you're happy. All the fans will be cheering after that. But when the team is losing or behind, then all the fans will be unhappy. Today, the Canucks are doing well, even though they lost last night, 5-1 to the Rangers. But I think they're doing well. I think last time I checked their standing, they are, I think, second in the division. So if you are a fan of the Canucks, like Pastor Abe, you will be very happy today. You will be happy this past several weeks. But just think about it. Come next year, the Canucks may be losing. And God forbid, they may even not make the playoffs. Now, if that's the case, what would you feel? Would you feel happy or unhappy? So I think joy goes beyond whether a team is winning or losing. It goes beyond the standing of a particular team in the standings. It is something more than that. So what is joy? Joy is more than a feeling. It is a perspective. In the Bible says joy is not an emotion. Joy is not an emotion. It is an attitude of your heart. It's an attitude of your heart. It's a perspective. Okay, I'm going to illustrate that to you through two passages in the Bible. The first one is the book of James. Okay, in the book of James, in the beginning, in chapter 1, verse 2, is that, consider it all joy, my brothers, when you encounter various trials. So you will ask yourself, well, how could a person be joyful when he's going through difficult times and going through trials? Now, if you go continue reading in that chapter, verse 3 and 4, is that, knowing that the testing of our faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So here is the secret about joy. It's not something happening to you from the outside. It's something that is happening to you through inside you, through your trial, to your difficulties. It's that God is building a character in you. You are learning how to trust God in spite of the trials and the difficulties. And that's where the inner strength comes in. And that's how you have developed that joy. Another illustration I'll give you is in the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians is also known as Paul's joy letter. It talks about many times about joy, rejoice, and being joyful. And Paul was telling us how he developed true contentment in Jesus Christ in spite of his circumstances. When Paul was writing that book, he was in Rome. Remember Pastor Abe was talking about at the end of the Acts of the Apostles, Paul was actually imprisoned in Rome. And that was the time that he wrote this book. Look at in chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Paul started off with saying, I thank God in my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making my prayer with joy. You know, so he was saying, Paul was talking about his 2 years in Rome. You know, during his 2 years, what happened to him, he was able to share the gospel with the prison guard. And as a result of that, a lot of people got to the knowledge, got to become Christians. And because of that, Paul said in verse 18, chapter 1, verse 18, is that, what then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in this I rejoice. Yes, and I will rejoice. That is the secret. Because he saw the gospel being preached, that is his source of being of rejoicing. And then he continues on in chapter 3, verse 1. He said, he appealed to the Philippians. He said, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Remember I said, rejoice is joy. Joy is not an emotion. It is an attitude in your heart. Now let's take a look what is Paul's attitude in his heart then. Look at it in verse 7 and verse 8, chapter 3. This is what Paul said. He said, but whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. An attitude of the heart changed the perspective of life for Paul. So you find the proper perspective and you will find joy. So we're going to talk about the news of the great news of great joy. And I'm not going to spend too much time on this one. I'll just quickly go through the 3 points here because it is a kind of dry, right? So let's read that portion of the passage again, verses 8 to 11. It said, and in that region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, be not afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which will come to all the people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Three things about his birth. Three things about this great news of joy. First one, the prophecy of his coming, born this day in the city of David. The city of David is not Jerusalem. The city of David is Bethlehem, 5 miles south of Jerusalem. Why is it significant to talk about the city of David? Because if you look at the Old Testament, the prophecy was fulfilled 700 years ago. In Micah chapter 5, verse 2, Micah said, but you, Bethlehem, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. So when you read the city of David, we should remember that Jesus was born and to fulfill a prophecy 700 years ago. Second, okay, the good news of joy is that the reality of his coming. Again, this verse, for to you is born this day in the city of David. The key word is born this day. Born this day is something that actually happened. Somebody actually happened on that day that Jesus was born. And just like, you know, a person, you were born on your birthday in Vancouver General Hospital. I was born on my birthday in Hong Kong. And she was born on her birthday in a women's hospital. So it's actually something that happened. The birth of Jesus Christ is not a legend. It's not a fairy tale. It's something that actually happened to fulfill the prophecy that was foretold many, many years ago. Third, the reason of his coming. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Three words here describe. Luke used three words to describe Jesus. Is that he's the Savior, he's Christ, and he is Lord. Okay, Savior in the Old Testament word means he, one who delivers his people. Christ is the Greek version of the Hebrew word Messiah. It means the anointed one. Lord is the term for deity. It is a similar word for God. So what it means is the Savior, he came, he is God himself, came to deliver his people, and he is the anointed one. Here's the question. He is the Savior. But if Jesus did not come, will he still be our Savior? Jesus is the Savior because he came. And that's why Christmas is so important to us. It is because Jesus' birth that we have this eternal hope, that we can have the eternal life through Jesus Christ. You know, when God came to this world, we sang that song, God came to this world, God incarnate to dwell in us, the word Emmanuel. How do we truly experience the joy of Christmas? Again, I'll give you three things. I always think three things is easier because you probably remember three things. Anything more than three, you will probably tend to forget. The first one, the joy of Christmas is to be found in a spirit of reconciliation. This is the first and the most obvious question that we need to answer is that you, in order for us to celebrate Christmas, we need to become a Christian. You know, after all, this is the that's the reason why Jesus came to this earth. He was born as a savior. And until you can tell Jesus, you can say Jesus is your savior, then you will never understand the joy of Christmas. For to you is born this day in the city of David. For you. Jesus Christ came for you. You know, that's why Christmas can become so intensely personal. You know, it is not enough for you to say Christmas, you believe that Jesus Christ came. And it's not enough for you to say Jesus Christ came for someone else. You have to come to realization that yes, Jesus Christ came for me. And if you can say that, then you can say Christmas is for me. Romans 5:8-11. But God shows his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his Son, while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his Son. So, now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God, because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God. So the joy of Christmas is found in the spirit of reconciliation. Second, the joy of Christmas is to be found in the spirit of generosity. During Christmas, you know, I want to reflect God's generosity to my family, to my church, and to the world. You know, you all know about this verse, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave. God gave. During Christmas, he gave his only begotten Son. You know, we tend to measure our generosity by how expensive our gift is. However, I'll tell you this, you know, the most generous gifts, they're not necessarily the most expensive one. The most generous gifts is going to be costly. It'll cost you something. Look at salvation. God's salvation is free, but it costs the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, when it comes to Christmas time, sometimes we have difficulties or we have running out of ideas as to what to give our family. You know, particularly to my parents, you know, they seem to have everything. You know, when they were still alive, they were in the old age, they seem to have everything. I say, what am I going to give them? They have everything. Or even today, you look at your children, you say, what can I give to my children? They have everything already. My family has this tradition of giving gifts during Christmas. Used to be giving gifts to everybody in the family. And then it was getting a bit of a hassle. So we decided to change it. Instead of giving everybody a gift, we say, okay, each family will give another family a gift. They will simplify things. But yet, giving gifts is a chore to us. Giving gifts is a chore to us. But I think it is important that we need to recultivate a giving heart. You know, remember a gift. The gift is a token of our hearts. You know, most gifts will be broken or some most gifts will be exchanged or refunded, you know. But the loving heart will endure the test of time. So when you give a gift, it's not a matter of the gift, how expensive it is. But it is something that means to you, something that costs you something. You know, I'm talking to the young people here this morning. And when I say young, it's anyone that's younger than me, right? My question to you is, what are you doing this Christmas to show your generosity to your family? Don't think about buying an expensive gift. The most precious gift that you can give is your time. So would you consider spending time or spending more time with your parents and your family? You know, hang out with your family. Hang out with your family at home. You know, when you're at home, don't just stay in your room. Go out to the living room. spend some time with your parents. Talk to them. Okay? Talk around the dinner table. Better yet, take them out for dinner. Right? When you talk to them, when you are with them, engage yourself with your family. Reflect on the past, and you'll find that the older your parents are, the more they talk about the past. Tell them how you're doing. Talk about your plan in the future. You know, spending time and finding time with your family is the most precious gift that you can give. But it will cost you. It will cost you your time. It will cost you your patience. It will cost you your favorite ball game. And it will cost you maybe your vacation. But you will find joy. So generosity to your family. Generosity to my church. As an elder, I understand how important the year-end offering it is for the church to catch up on the expenses. If you read today's bulletin, our church is actually $47,000 in the red. We're trying to catch up. For some reasons, you know, the offerings are not in proportional to every month of the year. It somehow lags behind through the year. And then at the end, I think most of us, we look at our situation and say, oh, I have so much leftovers. Maybe now I can give it to the Lord. Proverbs 3, 9, and 10, it says, honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruit of your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty. So it's not your last paycheck. It's the first paycheck that you have in the new year. Give it to the Lord. Don't wait until the end of the year and say, oh, I got this leftovers. God, you bless me. You bless me so much now. I'm going to give it to you. You know, Fraser Lands Church may give some people an impression that we are a wealthy church. You know, look into the parking lot. People say, oh, look at all those expensive cars. This church must be wealthy. But you know what my prayer is? Is I don't want people to know us as a wealthy church. I want them to know that our church is a generous church. A church that will give to the needy people, give to the people, to the community around us. You know, giving to the church is actually an act of worship. You look at during the birth of Jesus Christ, when the wise men came and he went there, and this is what the Bible said. He said, when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offer him gifts. Generosity to the world. Donate to a charity. Donate to a charity of your choice. Do you have a charity of your choice? If not, why not? Why don't you have a charity of your choice? You know, I encourage you to find a worthwhile charity to donate to. And just don't donate. Just, you know, do not just donate the money, but engage yourself to the charity and discover and find out for yourself why it is worth your while to give to that donation, to that particular charity. And I promise you, if you do that, you will find your donation and your giving will be that much more meaningful. For me, the charity of my choice for the last few years is the Surrey Homelessness and Housing Society. You know, you ask me why. Why do I choose that particular charity? It's because homelessness in Metro Vancouver is a major problem. You know, every three years, the government, the people go out there and they do a count of how many homeless people there. Earlier this year, they counted there was 3,000. And out of the 3,000, 2,000 lived in Vancouver, in the city of Vancouver. They did that back, they started this counting back in 2005. And back in 2005, the number was 2,000. So in 9 years, the increase was 30%. You know, a shelter, a home to a person is a very basic human need. Have you ever thought of that? Without a home, a person will have difficulties finding a job. Because he doesn't have an address. Without a home, without a shelter, he will have difficulties even getting social assistance. You know, I donate to the Surrey Homelessness and Housing Society because I sense the need of the homeless people. I empathize with what the homeless people stand for. I remember I looked at some of the sharing by some of the homeless people in Surrey, and this woman was saying he was holding a key in her hand. And he was so grateful, he was so excited because that key opens the door to the room that she can call her own. Now she can have an address that she can write down. She can put her stuff, store the stuff in the room, and she can sleep in her room. We all carry a key in our pocket. The key is to our house. And then in that house, you have your own room. Just think about that. There are needy people out there in the world. So when you are trying to be generous, generous to the people, generous to the world. You know, in fact, when Jesus was born in the manger, he was brought into the world in a condition very similar to a homeless situation. You know, we always look at the nativity scene and say, oh, that is women, that's Mary and that's Joseph. And the scene is so serene and so delightful. But no, it's not. It was in a manger. There were animals around them. It was filthy. It was unsanitary. Very much like the homeless people that we have here in Vancouver. Think about that and put yourself in that situation. Again, find a charity that you can call your own and be generous and give it to them. You will find that meaningful. So third thing is that the joy of Christmas is to be found in a spirit of reflection. So today is the third Sunday of the Advent, and we are talking about Christmas joy. The meaning of Advent is in the waiting. You know, during this waiting period of time, we're supposed to reflect on the birth of Jesus Christ. We're supposed to reflect on the second coming of Jesus Christ. And the word reflect means ponder. And if you look at the verse in the passage that we read in verse 19, that's what happened to Mary. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The word treasure has the idea of counting things up. Or in my world, being a city planner, we document things. We document what happens. Okay, another meaning about treasure up is there's a meaning of cherish. Okay, cherish is you remember the events, or you remember the events because they are important to you. And then the word ponder means to consider something carefully for a long period of time. And when you ponder, you try to understand what it all means and why it happened. You know, there are many things that happened that led to the birth of Jesus Christ. And some of those things happened to Mary directly. And some of those things happened to the people around Mary. You know, like, for example, she will probably remember when she pondered is the time that when John the Baptist was born. And she was probably remember the long journey that she had, you know, from Nazareth to Bethlehem. And she certainly will remember the event of the birth of Jesus Christ and the visit by the shepherds. So as Christmas is approaching, what better time it is for us in December, to reflect on the last 12 months and find out and ponder on what God has worked in your life, what God has worked in your family. Jamie and I, we started an annual project back in 2008, and we do that every year. What we do is we look at by the end of the year, before Christmas, we started going through the pictures that we took during the year. And it's much easier now with the digital camera. So we go through the event of the year and we document them and we put it in a slideshow. Many things happened each year. Like this year, you know, there are things that are happy and there are things that are not as happy. Earlier this year, the son of my high school friend, my best high school friend, got married in October. And that was the same day as my niece, Allison's wedding day. So we have to face with a difficult choice what to do. Two weddings. They're both very important to us. at the end, Jamie and I, we flew down to California and attended the son of my best friend's wedding. It's not a wedding, it's actually a pre-wedding party. So we flew down there, we spent 38 hours, and then we flew back on Saturday morning at 7 o'clock, arrived here at 9:30, it's just in time for Allison's wedding at 12 o'clock. It was a very happy occasion. But by the same token, just several weeks ago, I attended the funeral service of Ken Chow, some of you know. He was a very dear friend of mine, a dear brother of Christ with me. We served together for many, many years. I knew him back from university years. And we served together many, many years at BCAC. So through the slideshow, you see there are happy things, there are not so happy things. And we treasure up those events in the past year. And we can count them up, events by event. And we cherish them. And when we cherish them, we try to understand, why did it happen? What is God trying to tell us when that happened? So we savor the year and learn how to rejoice in the Lord and learning how to be thankful. You know, we tend to look at our lives as ups and downs, as hills and valleys. But in reality, it is much more like a train track. One track, you have things that happen to us that are wonderful. Things that are very pleasurable. You're very content. A lot of beautiful things happened. But on the exact same time, on the other track, there are painful things through the years in our lives. People that will bring disappointment to you. People that may hurt you. You feel sad and you have sorrow. And these two tracks, both happy and sorrow, one parallel to each other every single day of our lives. So the question is, how do we find joy on the track that we travel down the journey? The secret is in the rail ties. It's in rail ties. It is the message of Jesus Christ. The ties sustain the track just like the message of Jesus Christ sustains our journey of life. You know, the message of Jesus, which is proclaimed by the angels, is that, be not afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of the great joy, which will come to all the people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. You know, because of the Christmas message, our perspective is changed. Our perspective has changed. You know, we received the Jesus Christ, we received the message of great joy. You know, remember I talk about, you know, joy. Joy is not an emotion. It is a perspective. It's an attitude of your heart. This is what the message of Jesus Christ will do to us. The joy of the Lord does not always change our circumstances, but it always changes our lives. When we know Jesus Christ and what God has done for us, our perspective about life changes. Our interpretation of events that happens to us changes. And our destiny changes. You know, joy is a gift from God which transcends circumstances. It is not the same as happiness, because happiness may or may not bubble on the surface of our lives. But the joy of Jesus Christ gives a deep down assurance of eternal well-being and divine good. Those who receive Jesus as the Savior and Lord are those who do not only know about it, but they will also experience the joy of Christmas. You know, if you look down the train track into the brightness of the horizon, the track will become one, and you would not be able to tell one track from the other. So one day, our parallel tracks of happiness and sorrow will merge into one. The day we meet Jesus Christ in person and see the brightness of who he is, it will all come together for us. Then it will all make complete sense. And I'll call that the ultimate joy. You know, in a few weeks, Christmas is going to be ending. And we will be taking down our Christmas trees. We'll be packing away our ornaments, and we'll, you know, be using our gifts, or we'll take the gifts back, or our children will go back to school, and we'll all return back to office, and life will be normal again. So as we prepare for Christmas this year, I want to leave three questions for you to ponder. Will you see Jesus this year at Christmas time? Will you be changed by Christmas? Or will it be business as usual in 2015? You know, during this time of the year when many people are focused on preparing for parties, church events, children's concerts, shopping, wrapping gifts, sending cards, decorating, baking, and so on. You know, while all this can make Christmas celebration more meaningful for us, but at the same time, they can also distract us from what the season is all about, which is to celebrate the greatest gift of all, and that is Jesus, who was born 2,000 years ago. The story of Jesus is an old, old story. And we probably heard that so many times growing up. But yet, it is an old, old story that needs to be repeated again. You know, I'm reminded of this song, exactly the song. It's Tell Me the Old, Old Story. You know, it never occurs to me this is a song that we can sing during Christmas. Until a few years ago, I heard that in the singing Christmas tree. And they sang a little portion of this song. He said, Tell Me the Old, Old Story. Yes, it is something that we need to be reminded again. I asked Noel, do you know this song? And he said, oh no, that's too old for me. I asked Pastor Abe, do you know this hymn? He doesn't know. But so I'm going to teach you all to sing this hymn as a closing hymn. Tell me the old, old story, okay? Tell me the old, old story. Some of you, if you are as old as me, you probably know this hymn. Let's sing it together. Tell me the old, old story of unseen things above, of Jesus and His glory, of Jesus and His love. Tell me the story simply as to a little child, for I am weak and weary and helpless and defiled. Tell me the story slowly that I may take it in. The wonderful story often, for I forgot so soon the early dew of morning has passed away at noon. Tell me the story softly with earnest homes and grave. Remember I'm the sinner when Jesus came to say, tell me the story always if you would really be in any of Jesus. song rests with you for the rest of the Christmas season.